The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Proudly sponsored by Volkswagen. Volkswagen.ie.
But I want to go to a man on the phone now, because tomorrow the British and Irish Lions take on the mighty All Blacks at Eden Park in their first test match. Irish eyes are already smiling with the announcement that Munster man Peter O'Mahony will captain Warren Gatland's side. I'm joined on the line now by someone who knows Peter very well, his Mount Oval neighbour and former Irish and Munster great, Frankie Sheehan. Good afternoon to you.
Well, thank you very much, Catherine. That was a wonderful introduction, calling me a great and all that, in spite of myself.
There you go. That should set you up now on a Friday. It was your tweet that obviously had us all laughing last week, you know, when you said, or sorry, it was your Facebook page where you said, he was my neighbour growing up and he used to cut my grass. Glad the rugby worked out, because he certainly didn't have a career in landscaping.
Well, I can tell you, and there was a photograph with that, and I have to give the credit to that. The other neighbour, actually, a guy, Edmund Galvin, and there is his son and daughter in that photograph as well, John and Orla. But it was a lovely little neighbourhood we had there. I'm sure I knew Peter's father very well, John, and Caroline, of course, as well. They were absolutely lovely people. And John, of course, involved in Cork Constitution for all his life. He's just dedicated there. So we had these young fellas calling to us, and every so often I'd go out, I'd kick around the ball. At the time I was playing for Munster, and I think I'd played for Ireland at that stage, and we'd have a bit of fun, so the kids would be running around mad. But Peter used to call a bit more often than the other kids, and he'd come in, and as he got a bit older, we'd sort of offer him a cup of tea, myself and my wife Norma. And, you know, all of a sudden, he was a regular thing, and he was obviously getting that stage where he was looking for a few bobs. So we were looking around and had the lawnmower in the shed. And I said, Peter, any chance you'd cut the grass, which he was delighted to do. And I'm delighted now I gave him the few bob at the time that I did, because, that, you know, he probably wasn't looking for anything at the time, but I made sure I did. And, you know, he was just an absolutely, I mean, we're talking about him as in the past tense now or something, but he was a great kid. And, you know, a great lesson, Catherine, I mean, you love this space as well when it comes to, I suppose, motivation and disappointment and reacting from it. Mm. I mean, don't forget, here is a guy who wasn't initially selected for the Irish team to play against England. And just purely because of a Jamie Heaster pulling out last minute, Peter gets the call and they beat England, and Peter has a great game. And all of a sudden, he's not just on a Lions tour, he's captaining the test side. It's an incredible story, and it's of resilience and determination and sheer single-mindedness, and, you know, a lesson to everybody out there.
And that's it. I mean, almost coming, you know, unannounced, if you like, or not from the most obvious on the panel. What does Peter have, do you think, that makes him a great leader?
He's one of these leaders. I mean, there's 100,000 books on leadership on Amazon, right? I mean, there's no one definition of what leadership is. But what Peter had, and from an early age, he had this quiet determination. And we often see these guys on sports teams who they're not necessarily the mouthiest guys, but they're very deep and they're very thoughtful and very measured when they do contribute something when it comes to an open forum. And that's exactly what he does have. Mm. He has a great relationship with, I guess, the top guys in the team, with the coaches. And also, you know, he's got a great feel for what's happening underneath. So not everybody can be captain. And he just has that going through his veins. So any team that he's going to be on at any point in his career, I could tell this from a young age, he was going to be in the top two or three in contention for captaincy. And
been obvious to the rest of the lads as well, would you say, Frankie?
It was, yeah, it absolutely was. I mean, he would have captained junior cup teams in school with Prez, and senior cup teams in Prez. He would have gone on and, you know, Munster under-20s and the Irish under-21s, this type of thing. He would have been captain all the way up, right? So it came to him naturally, I guess, you know. And so there's other positions and other guys that it would upset their game if they're a captain. It's a different responsibility and they mightn't play as well. So he would have been recognised as that from the start. And of course, in fairness, you have to hand credit to Warren Gatland. Mm-hmm. He did make a call as Sam Warburton as captain originally, but he was big enough to say, you know what, Sean O'Brien is playing better than Warburton. I'm going to not play him and start Peter and put Peter as captain. Ahead, by the way, of Alan Wynne-Jones, who has vast experience here. You know, so it was a really, really big move by Warren Gatland. And I just hope to God it pays off for them all, you know.
And did you get to have a chat with Peter before he left for the tour?
Well, not, there was no one official chat, but we're in the same neighbourhood, I guess. You know what I mean? His parents are still there. They're around the place. We live in Mount Oval, but, you know, we would see them socially quite a bit, just, you know, whether it's the farmer's market. He's living down in Black Rock now, and they have a lovely group of guys down there as well. So you'd be always bumping into him here and there, and there'd be a text message here or a quick chat there. So, no, there wasn't one, I suppose, conversation that we had, but I was certainly, I suppose, I was father-like, being proud about his achievement and how he had done it, especially coming from where he was coming from and being injured, of course, last year when Ireland beat the All Blacks. I mean, that must have been tough as well, looking on in that, you know.
Yeah, so, and I'm just looking at the team here as well. So talk about being like a proud father figure. So you've Peter O'Mahony, there's Sean O'Brien starting, Tadhg Furlong, Conor Murray. There are four players. And Johnny Sexton then... is on the bench.
He
mustn't have been happy with that.
Well, you know, I think Gatland, I think, was very fair overall about his selection. He seemed to probably, with the exception of Alan Wynne-Jones, he has picked the farm selection, which you admire about him. And, you know, the whole thing is there's a huge hype, there's a huge buzz around Cork at the moment and around Douglas and all that sort of things. But they are playing against New Zealand, don't forget. And a week
so what
a
do you think are their chances?
Yeah, Catherine, it's. I'd love to be sitting here now telling you, God, they're going to go out and they're going to do the business. Mm. But, I mean, history will tell you, I mean, the job that New Zealand do on the Lions every single time, they make mincemeat of us. You know, it's the tour that everybody dreads in a lot of ways, because these guys in New Zealand, they absolutely adore the game. They eat, sleep and breathe it.
It must
and
feel actually, like that, actually, for the lads going down. I mean, there's great hype going before you go away. And I know Brian O'Driscoll presented them with their jerseys, which would have been a brilliant moment. But it is the longest flight in the world to be thinking you're going down to play the best team in the world. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean that's it, and they are that good. And the interesting thing, actually, Catherine, is that I think they're at more of a disadvantage than if Ireland or if England were travelling down. I would give Ireland or England a better chance of winning one test than the Lions.
You're because actually of the connection with the team.
Correct.
Yeah.
You're now, for example, if you decided to put New Zealand, Australia and South Africa together, I don't think they'd be as strong as any one of those other teams. Well, sorry, certainly not as a New Zealand. So it's actually a bit of a disadvantage these days doing that, you know. But the handicap spread actually tomorrow is 11 points. So the bookmakers, who rarely get this wrong, are estimating that New Zealand are going to beat the Lions by 11 points. But it's an interesting one. And if I had to bet, and of course this is being biased again, I think that the Lions would be within 11 points. Let's certainly hope they are, because traditionally these fixtures, if they're not within, if they don't get close in the first game, the other two games could run away with them. You know, please God they do. And that's all I'm hoping for any of the guys out there, and Peter in particular, that they go out. And I did send him a message. I said, look, don't worry about your own individual performance. Don't worry about anything else. All people remember afterwards, if you won, even if you had a shocker, is that you won the match, and that's all that should matter. And
exactly.
I think they have a decent chance. So fingers crossed that they might do something.
Great stuff. Fingers crossed, and we're wishing them the best of luck. We'd be glued to it tomorrow morning. Frankie Sheehan, thanks a million for chatting to me.